All right. Well, good evening, Grace Point. Good to see you again. We're still in the book of Matthew. I think this is our fourth lesson from the book of Matthew. It's just great going through here, trying to pull out gems or ideas from each section. We left off last week talking about you being the light of the world and how God wants you to succeed and shine. That's how He gets glory. Not to be afraid of your success in Christ for His glory. This week, we're going to talk about something. This is a fascinating topic to me. And as a Christian, early in my Christian life, I was so puzzled because, people were teaching me and Paul was talking about how we're dead to the law and we're not under law. And then I read this scripture here and it puzzled me. I'm like, it's almost like Jesus was saying you were under the law. And I was trying to figure this out. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And remember, as we study this, remember back before, several lessons back, who was this book written to, or what was Jesus under, or who was He teaching to in the book of Matthew? I know it's good for the church, it's good for everybody, but who was He teaching to specifically? You know, Jesus was a Jewish prophet. Wasn't a Gentile. And Jesus was a teacher, a rabbi. He's coming out of the Old Testament. He's an Old Testament prophet. And everything in the book of Matthew, almost everything is being pulled out of the Old Testament. And this is a document, the Old Covenant was a covenant for the Jews. Do you know the Gentiles were never under the law of Moses, ever? You cannot find any scripture, not a verse, that says the Gentiles were ever or ever will be under the law of Moses. We just weren't. The law was for the Jews. They were His chosen people. Those were His rules, His governance, the way they were to operate. They were chosen. They were called out. And these were the things that He gave them to follow. And He said if they followed them, He'd bless them. Well, no one can keep the law on their own. If you were going to keep the law, you'd need God's grace, even in the Old Testament, and you'd need faith in the Old Testament. But Jesus is coming, and He's preaching to the Jews. Galatians 4:4 says He was born under law. I think it's, is it Luke 10 or Matthew 10 says that Jesus was came to the Jews only. He said, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Romans 15, said He was a minister or a servant to the circumcision, the Jews. He came to minister to the Jews. And we're going to find out He came to fulfill the law. Fulfillment is a major, major theme. Some people believe it's the central theme of the book of Matthew. Others don't. Some think it's the kingdom. But fulfillment is a major theme in this book. Jesus is fulfilling the law, and you'll see it all the time. I talked about it before. This was written that this might be fulfilled. Jesus is definitely fulfilling the old covenant. I'll have more to say about that, but we'll just launch into the reading here. Father, thank You for blessing us tonight, opening our hearts and our minds to understand the Word in Jesus' name. Verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. That's I want you to key on that. I have a question for you. Did Jesus fulfill them? Yes or no? Did He fulfill them? Yes, He did. In the last chapter of the Gospels in Matthew, He says, it is finished. It is accomplished. It is done. We'll talk more about that. He said, for truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is fulfilled or accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Man, there's just so much. I want to stop at every verse and kind of go through each verse with you. Okay, so Jesus says, until heaven and earth pass away, not one dot will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. That's really cool. Let me ask you. He says, not one dot or not one iota. Are we still sacrificing cows and bulls and goats? Are we? We still doing that? Is anybody doing that? No. Well, why not? Not one iota is going to pass away. Do you have to be circumcised to be initiated into the covenant now? Do you have to get circumcised at 8 days if you're a man in order to be in the covenant? They did in the Old Testament. They did under the law. God almost said he was seeking to kill Moses because his kids weren't circumcised. That's what it says. Do we have to be circumcised to obey the law, to be under it? No, we do not. But he says not one dot, not one iota. Are we allowed to eat lobster or crawfish? Yes, we are. Mark 7 says all food's been clean. Acts chapter 10, Peter had the vision. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, I can't. I've never eaten anything unclean. What I've cleaned, don't call unclean. Go preach to the Gentiles. You can eat bacon now. Well, you couldn't eat bacon under the law. Well, I thought not one iota, not one thing, you know, would be gone. And some people say he means the Ten Commandments. No, he said not one jot, not one tittle. He didn't say Ten Commandments. And he says, in this translation says, you can't relax them. Therefore, whoever, and I think the King James says, breaks one of them, you know, right? No. The law was in force until it was fulfilled. Paul says in the book of Hebrews, now that it's been fulfilled, it has been laid aside. That's what he says. He says it's obsolete. That's what he says. He says there's a new covenant. That's what he says. Maybe I'll go to some of these scriptures. We can go over it. And bear in mind that the Gentiles were never ever under this law to begin with. In fact, if you go down to verse 38, Jesus is already kind of upending the law. Again, Jesus was not lawless. He said, if you relax, everything Jesus does as far as preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he is not lessening their moral requirement. He's actually increasing it. The law can't even get to the righteousness that God wants to get to. Maybe I'll come back to this, but he says in 38, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's right in the book of Exodus chapter 21. He says, but I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the left. Wait a minute. But that's an iota. That's a jot. The law says an eye for an eye. Exodus 21. That's what it says. Are you relaxing it? Are you getting rid of it? Jesus, how can you do that? He's raising the bar. In every instance, Jesus is raising the bar. And what he's really doing, he's already laying the foundation for John chapter 13, verse 34, about the love law. He says, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another, that you lay down your lives for one another. Agape love. Agape love. It's not about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's about forgiveness. It's about turning the other cheek. He says, the law says that you can, you know, divorce your wife, you know, lay her aside. Jesus says, no, in reality, if you do that, he goes, you're an adulterer. If you divorce your wife for any cause, any reason, he says you're an adulterer. He's raising the bar. And here with the eye for an eye, he's contradicting it. But in his contradiction, or he's actually raising the standard of it. He's raising the standard. That's why he said your righteousness had to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember, I talked about how they were discriminating all the time in the law. They were, like every jot and tittle. When they were tithing, they got their cumin out and maybe their pepper and their spices, and they were doing everything. He said, that's not what it's all about. It's about having a generous heart, giving your first fruits to God out of love and looking around, seeing who has a need. And I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. It's about having a heart of compassion. It's about serving God out of your heart, which far exceeds the law. Jesus fulfilled that in his person. Like I said, we're not. Look, flip over to Hebrews chapter 10, and you ought to just, the whole book of Hebrews. I don't know how people, there are some people that believe that Gentiles are under law, and they do all these things to try to get themselves back under law. I don't know how you could read the book of Galatians. I can't just pull one verse out, but how you could read the book of Galatians or read the book of Hebrews and not understand that we're not under law. And the very key is, get this, under law, this is a key. This is a key to Galatians. Paul is encouraging them not to be circumcised. Why does Paul encourage them not to be circumcised in the book of Galatians? Because he says, if you are circumcised, you're under obligation to keep the whole law. He says, don't do it. Circumcision is the initiation into the law. And Paul says, don't do it. We have an altar to eat at that they don't have any right to eat at. We can go to the altar in heaven where those under the law, the carnal ordinance, they don't have any right to eat at it. He says, don't put yourself under law. God's called us to freedom. Don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. He says, I'm telling you guys, don't go back under that. In Acts 15, at the council, when they were talking about the Gentiles, do they have to keep the law? The answer was no. And they said, don't put a yoke on them. We weren't even able to keep it. In Galatians, Paul tells Peter, if you're a Jew and you live like a Gentile, what? He's a Jew and he lives like a Gentile? That's what Paul said. He says, Peter, if you're a Jew and you live like the Gentile, you're eating bacon and you live like a Gentile, then why are you insisting that the Gentiles live like Jews? Right? And he said he was caught up in hypocrisy. When those people, when the Pharisees or whoever came up from Jerusalem, the legalizers, Peter withdrew from the Gentiles and withdrew himself, started living like a Jew again. And Paul called him out on it. No. He says, they're justified by faith just like we are, and they're sanctified. In the book Acts 15, it says their hearts are purified. That means they're sanctified by faith just like we are. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8. It says, we'll start with verse 5. Consequently, then, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have no pleasure. Then said I, behold, I come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the volume of the book. When he said above, you have neither pleasure nor desired offerings and sacrifices and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first. Someone say, he does away with the first. He does away with the first. Why? In order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Some people tell you, you get saved by grace, but you're sanctified by obeying the law. Nope. Nope. You're sanctified the same way you're saved. Your heart is purified by faith. You're sanctified by Jesus Christ alone. not by any obedience to any Torah. You're sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And you could go, I mean, there's other, in verse 13 of chapter 8 right here in Hebrews, he says, speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete is growing old and is ready to vanish away. It actually did vanish away in 70 AD when they destroyed the temple. It completely vanished away. People that tell you to obey the law, they don't keep it themselves. They don't keep it themselves. Nobody obeys the Sabbath. You know, when people have church on Saturday and they call that obeying the Sabbath, you couldn't even walk a quarter mile on the Sabbath. You couldn't even pick up sticks on the Sabbath. If you're going to obey the Sabbath, you can't do any work. That's what obeying the Sabbath is. It's not some, you can't change it and make it like, well, you know, that was then, it's different now. And no, if you're going to obey the Sabbath, you can't leave your house. You can't work. You can't pick up sticks. You can't drive your car. You can't do anything. You can go worship God if your synagogue is a quarter of a mile from your house. You don't obey the Sabbath. Go look at what the Sabbath is. There was a guy in the Old Testament that just picked up sticks and they stoned him. That's why Paul says they don't keep the law. The law is good if you use it lawfully. But the law, he said, is not made for a righteous man. He said it's made for sinners. That's Timothy. It's what he says. The law is not made for a righteous man. Why? Because your righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. What righteousness is that? It's the righteousness of God in Christ. And we're going to, as we go through here, you are going to see that in every instance, the love law, the agape law of God, exceeds all that stuff. I'm not going to get trapped down in obeying all this law. I can flow out with the anointing. I can let Christ shine in me. I can go the extra mile. Instead of tithing, I can give my money to the poor. I can feed people. Instead of, you know, resisting an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, I can forgive. I can go through life forgiving. I can allow Christ to shine in me. Why would I go back under some jot and tittle Old Testament system? Instead of not picking up sticks and only traveling a quarter of a mile, I can enter into rest where I'm no longer laboring to save myself. I'm no longer laboring under the burden of law, but I'm resting in the rest of Christ. And I can do that Sunday through Saturday. Read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. We should be resting all the time. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, Lily, what? Rest. Good enough. So you can go back and do what you're doing. I will give you rest. Christ is our Sabbath. Now, if you want to honor the Sabbath and have one day holy life, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But don't kid yourself and think you're keeping the Sabbath. You're not. But I get it. Like, I like to keep Sunday holy and give that to the Lord. That's a good principle. But it's not the Sabbath. And if I did it on Saturday, it wouldn't be the Sabbath. Okay. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Turn to Romans chapter 3, and I do not have time to go through everything I could go through here. I'm going to wind up here, and we got to move on. I could actually preach and go through Scripture. You'd have to go through, Brian, you'd have to go through Romans through Hebrews to get every Scripture that tells you Jesus is your righteousness. It tells you that Christ, Romans chapter 10, verse 5 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those that believe. You say, well, that's just righteousness. That's enough. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, he's not only your righteousness, he's your wisdom and your sanctification. He is your sanctification, not the law. He's also your redemption. Let me read this, and you could go to Philippians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. because we've been baptized into Christ. I have His Spirit. His Spirit is righteous. I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. I have to live out of it. And when I do, I will exceed every law of Torah. I will exceed it. I'll go the extra mile out of love. I won't even be thinking about it. My heart will be circumcised. I won't even think about it. Not only won't I commit adultery, I won't even lust after a woman. Because it's in my heart. The law of God is put in our heart. Not the letter, Paul says, but the spirit of it. I won't break a single Ten Commandments. I'll honor my mother and father. I won't lie. I won't cheat. I won't steal. Why? Because I'm trying to obey a carnal ordinance, because I'm keeping the Sabbath. I got circumcised and all these 600 and some laws. I'm offering sheep up on a sacrifice. No. Because every jot and tittle, no, because Christ is in me and He's my righteousness, and I'm learning to walk in the Spirit by faith and release all that righteousness. Verse 21, chapter 3 of Romans, is going to end here. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Where? Apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there's no distinction, for everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 6, He shows us how we're sanctified. Now we're sanctified by Christ Jesus too. Folks, we've been baptized into Christ. His Spirit is in us. And when we walk in the Spirit and we live out of it, we'll obey God's law. Not the letter, the Spirit. And you'll actually exceed it. And we're going to get into that next week, talk about how we exceed the law, and we'll pick up there next week. All right, God bless you.